Welcome to Torah Simecha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Foxbrenner, and today we will be learning Yeshayahu chapter 57, Perek Nun Zayin. When punishment is said to come upon a generation because of its deeds, a righteous person will be taken away. This is for one of two reasons: to spare the righteous person the hardship of watching his fellow Jews suffering, or to inspire the people of the generation to do tshuva, to repent. Hatzadik avad ve'ein ish sam alev. The righteous man perishes, and no one pays attention. Va'anshei chesed ne'esavim be'in mevin. Pious men are taken away, and no one understands. Ki mipnei hara'a ne'esav hatzadik. That because of the evil, the righteous person was taken away. The generation watches righteous people die, and they don't think about it. If they did, they would realize that if Hashem is taking the righteous and leaving the wicked, then punishment is soon to follow. Rashi gives the example of King Yoshiyahu. The prophetess Huldah told him specifically that he was going to die in order that he not see the evil that would come upon his generation. Yavo Shalom, he will come to peace. The righteous person will have peace. Yanuchu al mishkavosam holech nechocho. They will rest on their resting places, those who walk straight. The righteous man is not losing out. He will be in the world of truth, basking in Hashem's glory. The generation loses out on his presence and influence. And so Yeshayahu addresses the generation, Atem kirvu, but as for you, come closer. After calling attention to the death of the righteous, those who are left are called for rebuke. Almi tisanagu, in whom do you take delight? Almi tarchivu peh ta'arichu lashon, at whom do you open your mouth and stick out your tongue to mock them? Halo atem yilde pesha zera shaker, you are children of iniquity, offspring of falsehood. The prophet is attacking the values of the people. They delight in evil instead of Hashem. They mock the prophets and righteous people when they are the ones who deserve to be mocked. Hanechamim ba'ilim tachas kol etz ra'anan. You fulfill your lusts, either idolatry or immorality, under every leafy tree. Shochatei ha'yiladim v'nechalim tachas si'ifei ha'sla'im. Who slaughter children in the wadis amongst clefts of the rocks. The first clause in this verse seems to allude to immorality. Immorality is often used as a metaphor for idolatry. Just as adultery is the most obvious display of disloyalty to a spouse, idolatry is the most obvious display of our disloyalty to Hashem. Some commentaries read all of the references to immorality as allegorical, while others assert that the people are being admonished both for immorality and idolatry. I will present both options here. This verse is the first example. Hanechamim ba'ilim tachas kol etz ra'anan. You fulfill your lusts under every leafy tree. This refers either to actual lust, acts of immorality, or it refers to the lust for idolatry. B'chalkei nachal chalkeich, the smooth stones of the river are your portion, because that is where you serve idols. Heim heim goraleich, they are your allotment. Gam lahem shafacht nesech, he'elis mincha, to them you have poured out libations, presented offerings. Ha'al ela enachem, should I have mercy on this? Al har gavoha v'nisa samt mishkavech, on a high and lofty hill you have set up your bed. Gam sham alis lizboach zavach, there too you have gone up to perform sacrifices. Many commentators say that this is a reference to ancient customs of performing immoral acts in front of deities. Others say that the allusion to immorality here is again just a parable to idolatry, that they climb to great heights to bring sacrifices to their idols. V'achar hadeles v'hamezuzah sam zichronech. Behind the door and doorpost you have put a reminder. Kemi eiti gilis v'ta'ali. You uncovered yourself and rose up from my bedside. Hirchavt mishkavech, you expanded your bed. V'tichras lach mehem, ahavt mishkavam yad chazis. You made covenants with them for yourself whenever you saw a place to express your love. The literal understanding of the verse would be that the nation was steeped in immorality, that when a woman was with her husband, she would have a reminder of another man behind the door. She would rise up from her husband's bed to be with another. Expanding her bed would mean that the area of her life that was supposed to include only her husband included others, and she even looked for other opportunities to express her lust, a terrible condemnation of the nation's morality at the time. If this is referring to idols, the people would hide idols behind the door, so that when the door was open, no one would see. They would go from serving Hashem to serving idols, and allowing idols into their life of worship, where they did not belong. V'tichras lach mehem, you served them for your own sake. You thought you would be able to get what you wanted by serving them, so you looked for every opportunity to do so. Besides for serving idols, the Jewish people look to any source of salvation besides Hashem. In verses 9 and 10, the prophet describes the gifts that they sent to sovereign kings and journeys they made to them in order to save themselves from destruction. And when traveling, they took part in the idol worship and sin of foreign cultures. Hashem asks them in the middle of verse 7, Lo zachart, lo samt al libeich, you did not remember me or pay attention. Halo ani marche umeolam ve'osi lo tzira'i, is it because I've been quiet for so long that you have no fear of me? Hashem has waited to punish the Jewish nation in order to give them a chance to do tshuva. Instead, they have taken it as an indication that he isn't there. But now punishment will come. And when it does, in verse 13, Bizaakech yatziluch kibtzuyayich, when you cry out, let your cohort save you, the idols and the foreign nations, everyone who you turn to besides me. Ve'es kulam yisa ruach yikach havel, but the wind will carry them off and nothingness will take them. Your trust and reliance on them was always meaningless. But ve'achosebi yinchal eretz v'yirash har kodshi, but those who trust in me shall possess the land and inherit my sacred mountain. Not everyone is lost. Those who trust in Hashem will be saved. Radak says this is referring specifically to Chizkiyahu. Many kings, even those who were generally righteous, chose to make treaties against the instructions of the prophets in order to save the kingship of Judah. Chizkiyahu, when the city was surrounded by the army of Sanherib, the greatest army in the world, was told to go to sleep and do nothing, and Hashem would save them. And so he did, and they were saved. He relied on Hashem, and he was the only one to be saved in such a manner. And on this finally uplifting note, the Navi resumes his prophecy about the final redemption. Va'amar, solu solu panu darech. The Navi will say, pave, pave, clear a path. Harimu michshol miderech ami. Remove all obstacles from the way of my people. Hashem is ready to bring the redemption, so he tells the people to remove their obstacles to the service of Hashem. They should clear their hearts of the negative inclination that keeps them from repenting. They should introspect and recognize the excuses that they tell themselves in order to escape service of God. Ki cho amar ram v'nisa, for thus says he who is high and lofty, shochein ad v'kadosh mo, who dwells forever, whose name is holy, marom v'kadosh eshkon, I dwell on high in holiness, v'es daka ushval ruach, and I also dwell with the contrite and the lowly in spirit, l'hachayos ruach shvalim u'l'hachayos lev nidakim, in order to revive the spirits of the lowly and revive the hearts of the contrite. Ki lo la'olam ariv, v'lo la'netzach ha'ktof, for I will not always contend, I will not be angry forever. Ki ruach milfanaya atof, for the spirit that envelops them is from me, unishamos aniasisi, and their souls I made. As we know, Hashem will not punish us forever. According to Rashi, this verse is about the nation as a whole. Throughout our history, there has been a cycle of sin and punishment and repentance and then sin again. But eventually, this cycle will end. According to Radak, this is about the individual Jew. His soul is a gift from Hashem. Hashem brings suffering as a punishment, but the anger is not permanent. As soon as his soul returns to Hashem, there will be no more anger. Throughout exile, there will be sin and punishment, but there will be mercy and redemption also. And eventually, Borei Niv Sfasayim, I, Hashem, will create a new way of speaking, Shalom Shalom. Instead of expressing their suffering, the righteous will say, Peace, peace. That is what will be on their lips. Arachog v'lakarov, Amar Hashem, for those who were far away and have just returned, and for those who have always been close to me, the Baalei Tshuva and the Tzadikim Gemurim, those who are righteous forever, will be the same in my eyes, Urefasiv, and I will heal him. I will heal each one of them. The righteous will experience tranquility and peace. V'harishaim kayam nigrash ki hashket lo yuchal. But the wicked are like the troubled sea which cannot rest. V'yigrishu meimav refesh vatit, whose waters toss up mire and mud. A sinner watches others go down the path of evil and destroy himself, and yet he does the same, like the waves of the sea that watch each one before collapse on the shore. Although the righteous, even those who have made many mistakes in the past, will have peace, like we see in verse 19. In verse 21, Ein shalom amara lokai l'rishaim, there is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilui Nishmas, Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.